Well, you may be seated. What a great day it is to be alive. The reason that it's the greatest day to be alive is because that Jesus has promised to be among us during our most difficult times. And then he has promised to deliver us from this entire madness that's going on in this world in the nick of time. And so it is without question that God has a design to make sure we get to the river of life. He will never force us to drink from it, but he will make sure that you will get to the river of life so he will not be held unaccountable. He is accountable, and that is one of the greatest things. We certainly appreciate each of you that are here, and your time is very important to us as much as it is to you. And at the same time, we realize that so much of our time is given to things that have less value than the word of the Lord. So today I will try to be very careful with your time, and if you have to leave before I'm finished, I'm not going to stop because you leave. Is that a deal? And I understand some people enjoy me and some people wanted to. I'm enjoying you being here today. I can't help but just mention a word about Brother Philip Taylor's good friend, the Woodards, that are here today. Years and years ago, he talked to me about what a friend you were to him. And today, to share life with you all, plus all of you other wonderful guests and family that's come back to town. I typically, for those of you that have not heard me, I speak words about 25 to 30 a minute, with gust up to 100. So you have to be ready to put the foot feet on your hearing. All right. We're going to move forward as quickly as we can. And it can turn these platform lights off, if you would. And I wish you'd smile at somebody close and make them think you're glad they're sitting close to you. I live in a very real world, and I live with a very real God. When he said he was an ever-present help in the time of distress, I've tried him on that several times. He is. So, only God knows everything. Your GPS is a nice thing to have, but I promise you it don't know how to get you to heaven. Only the word of the Lord can get you to heaven. Apple Maps have upgraded us from lost to misplaced. I knew you'd be happy to know you're not as lost as you thought. You just misplaced. Somebody messed you up. And this one is my favorite. Your call is important to us. Please stay on the line until your call is no longer important to you. I didn't know all of you'd be impressed, but I was pretty impressed when I saw that. We're living in a real world, and a real world that's got problems. Somehow they have bled over into our world where our kids live. They bled over into our world where our marriages are trying to survive. Bled over into our world where churches are in need as much as others. God is not giving up on us. I wish you'd tell your neighbor so they can hear it physically from somebody close. God's not about to give up on us. His clock is running, and he has already has a set time for this earth to spin off of its axis. We've already seen enough forest fires. We have seen enough tornadoes. We have seen enough hurricanes to know that man is not in charge. God alone knows where we are on his GPS and how to get us out of this dilemma, and it's all through the cross. Mankind circles around trying to save us, but I tell you, God alone can save us, and he's here today. He lets you feel his presence, whether we appreciate it or not. He's in the house. And I got wonderful news for you. He's going to be at your house when you get home. All you have to do to know he's in your house is begin to praise him, just like we've been praising him here, and he'll manifest himself right in your car, right in your home, right in your jail, right in your lion's den, right in your fire. God is alive, and he's not giving up. What could be done was done to try to stop God from doing what God did. When the even was come, there came a rich man. Would y'all turn this side lights off over here, Brother Dusty? When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, laid it on his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, and I would like for you to pay particular attention to several things in this one verse, saying, we remember, you'll never forget Jesus once you've been with him. And you won't forget what he told you throughout eternity. We remember that the deceiver, now I want you to think about what's happening here. They have watched him heal the sick. They have watched him raise up others who were distinctly afflicted, and he healed blind eyes. He set people free from lack of knowledge. He did all of these things, and yet in their mind, I don't know if anybody's ever called you a liar or not, but it's not a fun thing. But isn't it wonderful to know they're lying? When they call you a liar and you're not a liar, they become the liar. And these guys are trying to, in mockery, try to twist the events by saying this deceiver, when he was here, and he had already done everything he said he would do, while he was yet alive, after 3 days said, I will rise again. So, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away. I wonder why they didn't say the fourth day, just to make sure. Because they were grading him critically on his exact terminology. Now, I would hate to think they would grade him more critically on his terminology of how long he would be in the grave, what would occur, than we would when he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive the Spirit of the Lord, and he will give you power to overcome. These guys are imposters themselves, and they try to grade him on the actuality of what he said. So this deceiver who said, after 3 days, I will arise again, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Now I'm going to take a minute and get this to you, and I may emphasize it at the last, but I want to make sure you get this. How many of you are aware that the disciples all gave their life a martyr for Christ Jesus? Now let me ask you this. Would you have given your life for an imposter? Their worry here is that the disciples might steal him and hide him somewhere and therefore deceive the people. Well, I can tell you I wouldn't be hiding him anywhere because I wouldn't die or live for an imposter. And then the other argument was that the Roman government took him and they put him away so that none of the disciples could get to him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you that neither of those rumors have any validity, because they wouldn't have been worried about Jesus ever doing anything again. All that Rome would have had to have done to stop the march of Christianity, and we all can read history, they tried to kill the Christians who believed that story. They wouldn't have had to kill a one of them. All they'd had done was produce the body of Jesus. And I can tell you the march of Christianity would have stopped way back yonder. And I can tell you the other thing, that the disciples didn't have the body, or they would never have died for a fake. The truth is, he's in heaven, he's presiding in all authority and all power, and he's here today to help you and I negotiate the GPS necessary to negotiate all the hell that's breaking loose among your school kids and among all the people in our world that are being terrorized by the idea that God don't care. I'm here to tell you God cares. Not only does he care, he is going to help you get through all the misery that you're going through. He's going to give you his Holy Spirit. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch, go your way. And somebody say it, make it as sure as you can. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get rid of the resurrection of the dead, because he arose. He led captivity captive, and the Bible said gave gifts to men. This story should never become old. We live now in the second part. Somebody say the second part of that story. The third part is the finale of this earth. This heaven and earth shall pass away with a great noise. And that's going to happen. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. We cannot afford to get wisdom and knowledge mixed up in all of that's going on. Wisdom and knowledge are not the same. Knowledge is the fact that numerals equate math. Wisdom is how to use numerals in subtraction, division, and addition, etc. Otherwise, your bank account's going to really be in a mess when you get home. You got to use wisdom and know where the numbers are to be subtracted, and know where the numbers are to be added, and know where to put that little mark called the decimal. I wish somebody'd say, you're preaching now. A lot of times when I'm doing good, a lot of people do it without me having to ask them. Knowing where to put that decimal. Some of you are visitors and you don't know. I try to tell people, look, I'm not against you because I'm facing off with you. And I'm not trying to be Lord over you because I'm standing on a platform. I'm here so you can see how old I'm getting. But mainly I'm here so eye-to-eye contact occurs. And how many of you, when you go to the doctor, you just enjoy them working on everybody else? And you go to the dentist, you like sitting out there hearing them holler in the back room. Huh? When I go to church, I don't want him working on everybody else. I want my future. And so I preach to you, not your neighbor. Because I don't want to go to church to hear him get somebody else saved. I don't want to go to church to hear him get somebody else through what they're going through. I want some help myself. I want a little truth that'll set me free. I want a little help that'll encourage me. I want a little help that'll push me on out of the ditch. I want some help when I go to the dentist, doctor, or whatever I go to. I need somebody to share with me where I really am. And by the way, they take x-rays where you don't even want them fooling around. I'm telling you the truth. We don't like it, but we endure it because we want to be best. Wisdom is knowing how and which knowledge to pursue and practice. This Sunday, we're pursuing the knowledge of the one who died for us and yet lives to instruct us how to accomplish life passing through death. The process of being born again is all about using knowledge properly. In the story of the death, burial, and resurrection, we find the wisdom of God. God used a human body to produce the visible evidence of being born again. And that is the reason that the legitimacy is that an invisible God overshadowed a virgin lady, and in that womb, a seed was planted by Almighty God that created man in the beginning from dust. And in that womb became the earthly child of a heavenly father and the heavenly child of an earthly mother. And that baby was the production of God. And God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That is what it means to understand that in Jesus' name, all power in heaven and in earth are given so that men by the name of Jesus has the authority to chase demons out of kids' home and kids' minds and leave them filled with a home where there's true dancing and true shouting and true victory. This is a real thing. It's not a little test. It is a timely opportunity. Let us look at this Sunday as the overall plan of God through the Easter story. Faith in God through Jesus Christ is the critical issue at stake for immortality. I wish you'd pinch your neighbor real hard. No, don't. Some of you, you're taking that more serious than what I'm preaching. I can tell you that this mortal body, when you get pinched, you will respond. You get enough pain, you'll either get drunk or forgiven. The choice is yours. You can get on drugs or you can find salvation. But I can tell you the GPS of drugs may cause you to not feel a few things for a little while. But after a while, you're going to wake up on the other side of the grave. And I promise you, there's not going to be any drug dealers, legitimate or illegitimate. But there is one today who is able to seek and to save. And he's able to heal and deliver. He is here in this house today as the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Redeemer, the forgiver, the lover of your life. I'm here to tell you he only disciplines you because he loves you. I see people discipline their kids because they hate what they're doing. They're embarrassing the mother and daddy. That's not why God, he can handle you embarrassing him. You look more like him than anybody else. Bible said he made every one of us in his own image. And I'm telling you, he's not embarrassed to call you his children. Some of us did crazy. Some of us did weird. Some of us got so far away, you'd have thought he wouldn't care about us. And that's why he showed you the 15th chapter of Luke, where the prodigal son was in the hog pen and the dad standing out there on the highway looking. Come home. Come home. And God's calling some of you to safety today. You didn't just come because it's an Easter story. You came because inside of you, there is a something that calls you to the house today. Only the true believers will obey Christ and the Word of God. The idea of God for man is not buying a ticket to heaven, but you becoming like Jesus with the same spirit that was in Jesus Christ. Don't let your kids get messed up by when we make love. What kind of song is that? Love is a system of spiritual power that delivers. Sex and love are two totally different things. You maintain an integrity of love with the one you have intimacy with. Know I am. I didn't come to play games. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is not giving up on you. He's got a good strong voice in this pulpit today, and he somehow got you to this house where you can find a path that's going to lead you to everything you've been looking for in your heart and in your mind and in your spirit. God knows where you are, and he knows how to get you where you really want to go. Experiences. I've had my share of life's ups and downs, the song said. Talking with people, trouble, past, present, and future comes up frequently. Some of you are facing a huge situation as you sit here today. Some of you are wondering if you could ever be what you really want to be. Some of you are wondering if you can really get through what you're going through. Some of you are wondering if there really is a heaven. I want to tell you, if you've ever had one moment that you felt like everything was right and going to be all right, that's a heavenly place, the Bible said. And so he said he has caused all of us to sit together in heavenly places. But don't give up your heavenly future because you have some hellish stuff going on. Because the tempter is loose on this earth, and God's given him the freedom to tempt you to see how great your dedication and commitment to the truth and the lordship of heaven, where somebody's going to live forever, forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. And I hope you wake up tonight in the middle of the night hearing it, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I'm not giving up. God's not giving up. This church is not giving up. We're going to do everything we can to save every child in school. We're going to do everything we can to give hope to every little person, every big person. I'm telling you, we're dealing in drugs of the spirit. We empathize with you. We intend to encourage and bring hope to you today. First of all, you're not the first or the only one to go through what you're going through. I promise you, Jesus went through everything. He could not be God and maintain his integrity if his word was not true, that he was tempted in all points, such as we, and yet without sin. Sin just simply means separated from Almighty God. That's great stuff. I want to interrupt this. I have a great friend in Maryland, and his name's Ron Libby, and I love to hear him preach. I don't enjoy telling his previous life except for one reason. As a drug dealer and doing drugs, him and his wife were in an apartment crying, and a preacher somehow found. I don't remember the whole story. Would you stand up, Brother Libby? This is his grandson. It's one of the reasons I like you. The other reason I sort of got to, since my granddaughter likes you. That's right. I've cried have wept, I have rejoiced. And you may have heard one of us preach Brother Ron Libby's message that he preached in Plano, Texas about 22 years ago. Is in whatever you're going through, maybe a setup for a setback is something about you. The whole thing you're looking at right now is a setup for your victory.
Right. I want you to just testify. I'm asking, just say whatever. It just, his voice means a lot to us right now, because he wouldn't have been here if his daddy wouldn't have found a real God that could deliver their marriage from the hell it was going through and give them a life. And he leads one of the departments. He just actually changed, but he leads the department I'm part of, and that's Points of Refuge. And that's for men in ministry and women in ministry. And that was your grandfather's pilot program.
Yes, sir. God is good in the house tonight, or today, isn't he? God is here. The Spirit is evident. This is a great word, and today's a great day. It's the resurrection day. And I can imagine the disciples on Friday, whenever Jesus was put into the tomb, whenever he was buried and all hope was lost and it was dark. And I can imagine them looking at each other and saying, man, everything is done. This is it. It's finished. All the times that we were with Jesus, everything that we did with him, it was all for nothing. It's over. It's finished. But I can tell you right now that there is a hope. And that hope is that Sunday is coming, and Sunday is here. And today is the resurrection day. And the promise that was given to Moses all those years ago in the Old Testament, it still reigns true today. The promise that there is hope over the hill, and there is a promised land for each and every one of you, that promise is still here today. Jesus is resurrected. And I want to share a short story. My grandfather, an incredible man, and my father is an incredible man as well. And it doesn't matter how incredible you are, it doesn't matter how great of a father you are, your kids are going to make their own decisions whenever they kind of come of mind to. And I remember whenever I was 18 years old, I made my own decision to leave the truth and to do whatever I wanted to do. And it didn't matter the teachings that were instilled in me. I'd made up my mind, you know what? I'm going to do my own thing because I wanted to experience the world. And whatever the world had to offer me, it was not as great as what the church had to offer me. And I remember stepping out and getting involved with things that my grandfather had been involved with whenever he was younger. And I remember coming home late at night, and my mom, she would be crying and she'd be very upset. Martin, where were you? Where were you? And I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to tell anybody because I was embarrassed, but also I was doing my own thing. But every morning at 3:00 in the morning, my mom would come into my room and she would kneel before my bed and she would speak in tongues and she would cry, and she would cry out for her son's life. And I remember waking up one morning and I said, Mom, can you stop? Please, can you stop? I'm exhausted. I'm tired. And she looks at me with tears in her eyes. And she says, son, I will never stop. I will never stop praying for your soul. I will never stop asking God to save you. I will never stop. And God is looking at you as well right now. And he's saying, I will never stop reaching for your heart. I will never stop reaching for your life. And today is the day that we can lift our hands and we can say, God, thank you for never giving up on me. And I want to meet you right here in the middle. He has his hand stretched down for us right now. And all he wants is for us to just reach up and grab a hold of it. Because he's never given up on any of you. He never gave up on me. And I'm a living testimony right now that God's grace, God's love is sufficient. It's everlasting. It's never failed me. And I'm here over drugs, over alcohol, over all the sin in my life. I'm forgiven and I am set free, and I can stand here confidently and say that God's power, God's love, God's forgiveness, it reigns true, and it's here today, and the Spirit is so heavy right now. And if you could just lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for never giving up on me. In Jesus' name, thank you. Jesus.
Oh, why don't we clap our hands to the Lord? What a victory. What a victory. I wish you could have seen. I preached a conference up at Brother Libby's back when he was right outside of Maryland. I mean, right out of Washington, D.C., and that's where they still are. But his son pastors that church now. And, And that's Brother Martin's dad. And I'm telling you, I have never seen so many newspaper clippings on a wall from the news in Washington, D.C. over this church in Rockville, Maryland, that was growing by leaps and bounds. Hundreds of people. I'll never forget the preaching that night. There was one of the dignitaries from downtown Washington that was sitting on the front bench, and he could not stop praising the name of the Lord, all because God delivered a man and his wife and then has raised up a son and daughter. And then I just wanted you to see the chain that happens as you go through those things. Jesus was tempted in all points, such as we, and he never caved in. Trial and triumph both faced Christ. So he understands what you're going through. If one human body could sustain itself against anything, he knew that we would know that if you let the Spirit of the Lord begin to rule in your life, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, would take you to dimensions of thinking and spiritual activity that would deliver you from the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eye, and put joy in your heart and joy in your mind and joy in your home. The fact that many people have not succeeded yet is little realization that God did succeed in his effort through Christ Jesus. That's why we look to Jesus and not people for our future. If they can, I can. I wish you'd at least say it to your heart. If they can, I can. By one man, sin entered in, and by one man, salvation came. It was never about the burning bush. Does anybody here remember hearing about Moses, and he's taking care of the sheep, and out on the farm, he's taking care of what's going on? Is that clock say 11:24? Is that what time it is? Forget Moses. My clock's not going that fast, so I'm sorry. I got more on Moses than I wanted. I'm going to get you here. I want you to see it in the scripture. I want you to be convinced that not only God cares for you, but this church family cares about each other. We care about our school kids. We care about what's going on out yonder in our world. And I encourage you to talk Jesus. Redirect conversations at the coffee shop and talk about Jesus. I'm not talking about be rude and crude. I'm talking about carefully. We never have to teach a child a lie or make excuses or to hate. Did anybody ever teach you and train you how to lie? You started on your mom and your dad. No, I didn't. I was there. I didn't hear you. We're in this together. We do not have to teach how to cheat or to despise. We do not have to teach anybody how to lust. We don't have to teach that. It's born in you. We are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And God's very conscious of that. But he ever liveth to make intercession with the spirit world so that you have a ministry of the word, and you have a preacher that will preach to you. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Don't worry that everybody has not made the decision to raise their kids in honesty and in love and in purity and empowerment. Don't worry that other people are getting by right now, because I'm telling you, just as sure as he made you, judgment day's coming. We're living in the second part of this story right now, and the third part is going to be revealed. This heaven and this earth shall pass away. Same God, said Jesus was coming. Same God said Jesus would die for us. Same God said he would rise from the dead. The same God said, I'm going to call you. The same God is going to make us what we want to be. He's going to give us the liberty to become and have everything necessary to negotiate this life. While money is the ability to negotiate what's going on in this world, spirit is the negotiable asset to negotiate with hell what you need. You can put the spirit of lust and pride and all of that to rest, and you can have joy, this joy unspeakable and full of glory, in spite of somebody else in the neighborhood. You can live in victory. Everybody don't have to be rich for you to be rich, and everybody don't have to be full of the Holy Ghost for you to be full of the Holy Ghost and to enjoy it. It is a native or natural self to hurt those who hurt us, to kill, steal, and destroy. But being born again is preceded by a faith in one man, and that is Jesus Christ. Being born of a virgin, the Spirit of God, as at the beginning of the world, moved and spoke into Mary's body, a new beginning for all of us. In the womb of that virgin, and the singers are coming, that hope for all mankind was being developed. Somebody say, being developed. It has been developed now for 2019 years. The fact that you signed your check 2019 is indicative of the fact that he did come out of that graveyard. I can tell you that we'd still be living in BC if he didn't come out of the graveyard. We're living in AD because he came out of the graveyard. They called him a deceiver, but he wasn't. They called him pitiful and weak-minded, but he wasn't. I'm telling you, his mind is put on paper because he never changes his mind. Most of us men can't put our mind on paper. Man, they'll find out that fish wasn't exactly 13 inches long. It looked 13 to you. I'm talking to somebody today. Jesus is alive, and he's in the house, and he's going to be talking to you after you leave here. Christ, the earthly child of a heavenly father and a heavenly child of an earthly mom, he knew no sin. And yet he was tempted in all points, such as we. Unto every one of us is given grace. If you understand that grace is a teacher, the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. Denying fleshy lusts and letting Spirit of Jesus rule in our life. Man is trying to regroom God's word, misplaced instead of lost. The whole deal is Jesus came to give us truth so we could find out exactly where we are, but not leave us stranded. He came, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? The perfecting of the saints. If I were you, I'd be very careful about just buying a ticket that said heaven. I'd find somebody that knows how to train life to get me there. I don't want a car that looks like a car, has an engine hid under it, and has a transmission somewhere in it, and it won't get me to New York City. You buy new cars because you want to be safe. And we're trying to buy into this old same old junk that devil's been peddling for years. And Jesus said, I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. I've come to give you new life. I've come to give you great life. Could we stand? Perhaps there's somebody here today that you would like to slip down to the front. Perhaps you'd like to raise your hand, indicating you'd like for somebody close to just pray with you. Because here's the beauty of joining together. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Where two or three agree as to touching any one thing in my name with faith, believe, and it shall be. Maybe you could just reach out to somebody, but the singers are singing. The altar's open for anyone who wants to slip down and find ministry. that will help you with the Word of God and will help you to a new future. He's alive. Sing it, singers. If you have to go, you're not going to be dishonored for needing to leave. But if you'd like to slip down to the front, there are people of faith. There are people of love that care.
Jesus washes me.
Hallelujah.